Hallelujah. God is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. Amen. Well, we're thankful for all the gifts that God has provided. He's done a great work. It's most important for us to walk in thanksgiving. Amen? Walk in thanksgiving, walk in gratitude. Amen? That's powerful. Because when God has done great and mighty work in you and you begin to walk in thanksgiving and you walk in rejoicing, it'll change your life. You don't walk in thanksgiving and rejoicing because of what you see. You walk in thanksgiving and rejoicing because of what He has promised, because of what He has done, and because of what He has said. Just because you have not seen it yet does not mean that He has forsaken His promise. Peter says God is not slack concerning His promise, but He is bringing it to pass. Amen? He is bringing it to pass. And I understand that in our days that we have all kinds of opportunities in the flesh to feel disappointed, to feel betrayed, to feel anxious. But these are all things that are given. These are all opportunities that are given to the world, aren't they? These are all opportunities given to the world so that they can look for other ways to comfort themselves. We have one comfort, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we continually, as a human body and species, tend to lean toward our feelings and our experiences to comfort ourselves or to cause ourselves disappointment. Amen? You ever notice that? But to turn into the promise, to turn into the Word of God, and to rejoice and to give Him thanks, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what your body and your mind and your head are saying, this is a gift of God that you already have. This is a gift of God that you already have. Your mind may say, no, I can't. I just can't. I just can't. And I understand it. Because there are bad times. There are things that happen. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given you power to sing. Power to rejoice. As you meditate upon His Word. As you meditate upon His promise. He has given you the power to sing. The power to rejoice even in the midst of trouble. So in this day, I say to you, command you pastorally, because you have an opportunity right now that you're thinking of, many of you, to complain or to weep justifiably for things that happen in the world. Yet, God says to you, commands you, to rejoice. Not because He wants a good-looking picture for Christmas. Okay, smile. You know, I want my people to look good, you know, like they do in the, like North Korea. They keep it very clean. It's one of the cleanest places that there is. Outwardly, but inside is death. Amen? God's not interested in you looking good for the sake of His photograph. He is interested in you receiving His promise and living by it so that you are free. First of all, God wants you free. He wants the gospel preached by a free people. Amen? He wants the gospel preached by people who are not bound to preach the gospel. He wants the gospel preached by a demonstration of a true Savior which is manifesting in you. That's the power of God. The power of God is not about what you look like when you're afraid that God told you to do something. The power of God is that you're happy and rejoicing no matter what. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? That's who we are. Glory to God. Jesus was born into this world having shed all of His outward glory. All of His glory, all of His power, What do you mean? He had a lot of power on the earth.
No, yeah, that power was of a man without sin, filled with the Holy Ghost. That wasn't God's power as if God is, you know, walking around on the earth, but that's the power of God through the Holy Ghost in a man living by the power of God. That's the demonstration of Jesus on the earth. Amen? He was 100% God to take your sin, to die, and to rise again to take your sin. But He was 100% man to live on the earth and to love your neighbor and to minister to those around you. He was loving you. Jesus went around about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. And guess what? That's you. That's you now. That's you. Healing all, you go about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Jesus, born of a virgin, in the fullness of time, into this world, we celebrate the angel. Some people say, well, we got folks who say, well, you shouldn't celebrate. Well, you don't know when He was born. Well, I know He was born. Amen. I mean, for goodness sake, we could only be 365 days off. You know? And probably at best, we're probably only about 3 to 6 months off. So really, I mean, He was born sometime during the year. You know, we're probably fairly accurate. So it's not a big deal. The fact is that He's here. The fact is that He was born of a virgin. The fact is that when the angels came and celebrated for a small crowd. Amen? You know, well, God never commanded us to celebrate Jesus' birth. I beg to differ. He didn't command you to do it, but He sure did do it Himself. I mean, the multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's so exciting. Amen. There's little shepherds who were sitting there. Then they got up and ran down to town, to the Hilton, and they weren't there. Hey, then they went to the Sheraton. Then they went to Holiday Inn. Went to Motel 6. They went to one of those places out there on Highway 80. I still couldn't find the kid. But they went down to the local garage. And Jesus was there. Jesus didn't come in a Cadillac. Came for everybody. He came for the lowest of the low and the highest of the high. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac fathered Jacob, and Jacob fathered Judah, and his brethren. And then we go on with a rendition of the genealogy of Jesus up through the, and this is the genealogy in Matthew, the genealogy of Joseph, up to Joseph, which is Jesus' adoptive father. Joseph is of the house of David. Let's read that again. It says, Jesus, the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, who was the son of Abraham. Now, who is Abraham? What is Abraham remembered for? Faith. He's the father of faith. So Abraham is the father of faith. He's also the father of, great-grandfather of Judah, from whom the name Judah, we get the word Jew, Jews. Jesus is in the Scripture referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because He has come from the house of Judah. This is His lineage down to King David. You know, the promise is that God will provide for Himself a king who will sit on the throne of His father David, who shall rule forever. And that is Jesus. So Jesus here is in this genealogy up through Joseph, having been raised by a man from the house of David. Joseph, we don't hear much about him after the incident at the temple where Jesus is teaching in the presence of all the rabbis and the Jewish leaders. We don't hear anything about Joseph after that. But he raised Jesus, you know, from the time of his birth through his formative years. Then when we look into the book of Luke in the third chapter, don't turn there, we don't need to turn there yet, is that there is another genealogy of Mary. Now some of it refers to Joseph, and it goes the other direction. It doesn't go from Abraham down to Joseph. It goes actually from Joseph and Mary backward and ends up where? At Adam. And referring to Adam as the Son of God. So powerful. Because as Adam is the Son of God, so are you. As Adam is the Son of God, so are you. What's so powerful about this is that God knew the genealogy of Jesus. God knew exactly whom and by whom Jesus was going to be born, by whom Jesus was going to be brought into the world, by whose family. You know, the same applies to you. The same applies to you. You didn't just show up accidentally. Amen. Praise the Lord. God knew your mom and dad. God knew your grandma and your grandpa. God knew your great, 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 great grandma. And He knew your name. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are. He planned for you. He has a tremendous plan for you. You are not just like a footnote or a comma in this life. You have been planned by God. Is that powerful? Meditate on that. I mean, you can't get it in a minute. You can't get it in a sermon. But you want to begin to meditate upon that is because God called me. Called you to what? God called you. Number one, you're sitting here. Number one, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have received the Lord Jesus Christ and you have received the Holy Spirit. You are living. Jesus said in the Psalms that you had prepared, that God had prepared a body for Him. How many know that God prepared a body for you? Huh? McCray? Yeah? Oh, that's great. Wish I'd get my grandbaby to smile at me like that. Amen. No, she's doing good, though. She's doing better. But God prepared a body for you. And you're living in it. Such is it. Oh, this is great. I'm going to preach to him. Oh, boy, He prepared a body for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He prepared one for me, such as it is. Changes shapes. You know, doesn't get any taller. But God prepared for a body for me, and I'm living in it. So if I meditate upon that, is that I know and I have all confidence that what God planned for me, He's going to bring it to pass. And if I begin to thank Him and rejoice in Him for it, He's going to bring it to pass. So many times I thwart the work of God because I'm not rejoicing. I'm going off and making myself happy. Amen? Being kind of grumpy about whatever. Amen? It doesn't mean God's not going to get His plan done, but it does mean it may take a little longer on the earth. It may take a little longer. I want to begin to rejoice. I want you to learn how to rejoice. Amen? And when you find yourself not rejoicing, catch it. Catch it. Repent. You know what repent means? Everybody say, what does that mean? It means feel bad and beat yourself up, right? Is that what that means, repent? No! Repent means turn around, change your mind. You got new information, go according to that. Amen? That's what repent. Repent and believe. They were told, when John came, John the Baptist came, repent, believe the gospel. He told you what to do. Repent, turn around, and go left. He actually had direction. He knew exactly what to do. Do you know what to do? Huh? You know what to do? Repent and believe the gospel, and you get to do that every day. Amen? You get to believe that. You get to do that every day, is repent and believe the gospel. It's important that you repent and believe the gospel every single day. Because there are days, every day, that you have the great opportunity to not believe the gospel. You could look at what fell down, look at poured out, look what didn't happen today, look what got stolen today, look what got beat up today. And you have the opportunity to get mad, retaliate. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody ever retaliate? Oh. Anybody ever retaliate? It just keeps going up. Anybody ever retaliate? Thank you, David. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a good Christmas message, isn't it? You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of Cracker Jack. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, now look here. Verse 18. Oh, look back at verse 16, sorry, Matthew chapter 1:16. And Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Very particular is that Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary. So let's go back one verse. I want to show you the difference. Verse 15. And Eliud fathered Eleazar. And Eleazar fathered Mathan. Oh, Mathan. He's in there. And Mathan fathered Jacob. So there's the name of your first son. So Mathan's going to name his first son Jacob. Praise the Lord. There you go. It's kind of like when they told them to name him Jesus. Never mind. I'm not being serious. You don't have to do that. And Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary. It didn't say Jacob fathered Jesus, did it? Very interesting caveat here. It says, and Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Very distinct, very, very particular, how the gospel speaks exactly what is the case. Amen? I love reading this stuff. This is great. Reading the Bible is good. It's fun. Because you find out things you didn't know. A lot of times you find out things you didn't know about what you believed. Oh, really? It says that? I didn't know. I thought I was supposed to do something. No, you're supposed to do one thing. Believe. What shall we do that we might inherit eternal life? That you might believe. This is the work of God. That you might believe on Him whom God has sent. Amen. Amen? This is the work of the gospel. That you might believe. Not that you might keep all the commandments. That comes afterwards. How many of those? Well, yeah. That comes after. Barbara's like, well. It comes afterwards. Do you believe? I believe. I believe I'll keep all the commandments. Amen. Praise God. I won't break one of them when I'm dead. Praise the Lord. All right, now, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Uh-oh. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what people say when you're found with child and it wasn't the normal way. They say, yeah, okay. She was found of child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, in other words, he wasn't going to have her stoned, was minded to put her away privily. Minded. Do you ever get minded on things? Anybody? Here's the problem. Let's see. Let me get minded. I'm going to get my mind going. Figure out what I'm going to do here. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. Okay. Good thing God showed up, wasn't it? Huh? It's always a good thing God shows up when you start getting minded. when your mind starts working really hard, boy, how am I going to get out of this problem? Because number one, it usually gets you into debt or in jail. Or at least in the doghouse. Huh? Amen? When you're thinking of things to do. When you're thinking of things. How can I deal with this problem? Joseph is thinking about how to deal with this problem. Because he's got this pregnant fiance. And this is not a good deal. You know, he won't be able to. It's like a credit check back in those days. It's like he won't be able to get a job. He won't be able to get insurance. He won't. You know what I mean? I mean, you get involved in something that's not according to the law. You're going to have problems for the rest of your life. So you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it right now. And you got to. Anybody ever done that? Something came up and you had to figure out how to deal with it. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Whew. Thank God for Jesus. Saying, Joseph, you son of David. Okay, he's reminding him what this is all about. He's bringing to his mind his lineage. What does this have to do with anything? This is a girl who, this my fiance done messed up. What does me being the son of David, who we haven't heard from his folks in a long time anyway, How many know the house of David was kind of way back there then? It hadn't done much lately. House of David hadn't done much lately. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take to you Mary your wife. That was a big deal. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You see back there in verse 18, you know, I'm sure Mary told him, it's your Holy Ghost. And he's going, yeah, okay. I hadn't heard much from the Holy Ghost lately. You know, about 400 years. It's been about 400 years. You know, one interesting, it's been about 400 years about before since the Holy Ghost was heard of. Because when he spoke to Malachi. So it's been a while. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the angel says. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation, the name meaning salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. They're looking for a Messiah to save them from the Romans. He's going to save them from their sins. Yeah, but is this exactly what we were looking for? I mean, all this stuff is like in this little bit of Scripture. For he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, they're looking for the Messiah that's going to save them from the Romans. But I digress. Now Matthew says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted being God with us, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Thank God. Being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had told him. And he took Mary to be his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Let's look over at Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." To all people. Not just to the Jews. To all people. "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger in a cow trough." Wrapped in linen rags and laying in a cow trough. Pretty distinctive way to find a baby. Won't be in a house. Won't be down at JPS. The local Dr. Turner. It'll be down at lying in a manger. And suddenly, okay, here we are in the middle of the field. Shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night. Angel appears. That's a big deal. Makes an announcement. And then not just one angel. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I'm going to read that again. "And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host," a multitude, a cast of thousands, "praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth. Glory to God where? In the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men." Not God's coming and boy is he mad. On earth, peace, goodwill to men. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Bethlehem's not very big. Just kind of a stop in the road. Just a few shanties and shacks. Not very big in this day. It was bigger before. "And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." God knows how to bring something to pass for you. He knows how to bring something to pass directly for you and your family. He is ready to do that. And he has a plan to do that. To care for you. To take care of you. God had a plan for this family, even though the family of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the baby. He cared for them, protected them, because Jesus has a mission, doesn't he? Amen. Guess what? You have a mission. You have a calling. You individually, personally, have a calling. Mom, dad, husband, wife, those who work with others. You personally interact with people. You personally interact with those who need the gospel. You are a fountain of living water. Amen? Every day you wake up, every day you take a breath. I like to say every day is like a resurrection from the dead. You wake up from sleep, brand new day. Everything begins over. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Every day begins over. Sure, you may have, living in this world, you may have had things left over from yesterday, but it's brand new. It's a brand new day. The sun has risen, and you are being transformed and changed. God's doing a mighty work in you. Do you believe that? Aren't you excited? Yes, I am. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord because of the living Holy Spirit given by God, the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Jesus is the same Holy Spirit who indwells you. So, Father, we thank you today that you indwell your people. You indwell your people with the Holy Spirit. And every day, you're bringing to pass that thing which is well-pleasing in your sight. Glory to God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen? Daily, He is bringing to pass these things in you. God's doing a mighty work. He's doing a great work. Look over at Luke chapter 3. When Jesus was baptized, verse 23, Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Verse 22 said, the Holy Ghost descended on him in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed. That word supposed also has a meaning of being of the custom. And typically, and that's why this genealogy, even though it says here, Joseph, which was the son of Heli, or Eli, is because Joseph being the father, or the legal guardian of Jesus, even though this is Mary's lineage. This is Mary's lineage, but attributed because Joseph as the son-in-law was adopted in that family, became a son of Mary's family. So this is the genealogy of Mary. So being, as was the custom, the son of Joseph. So Jesus appeared and by custom had adopted Jesus as his own son. And Mary's father, the next up in the lineage, is Eli, or Heli, the son of, so Mary's father was Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi. And these two houses go up to Nathan and to Solomon. So the two sons of David, by whom Mary and Joseph come down from the house of David, one through Nathan and one through Solomon. So they both come from the lineage and the house of David. Be excited today. Because you come from the house of Jesus. Amen? You come from the lineage of Jesus. When the angels spoke to the shepherds, he said, "This joy shall be to all people." Because the Jews were not just to be a light to the Jews. The Jews were to be a light to us. A light to the Gentiles. For those of you who are not of Jewish descent. So Jesus was the Jews were to be a light to us. Not to keep it to themselves, but what does he say? If you have a light, don't hide it under a bushel, but put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all in the house. And that's you, is giving light to all in the house. Part of the light is rejoicing daily. Amen? And giving thanks, no matter what the circumstance is, to tell, speak to your soul. Why are you disquieted in me, soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. When Jesus, or when the psalmist says that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits." Commanding your soul. Believe it or not, you can command your mind, will, and emotions to rejoice in a circumstance. Now, you don't always do it. I've failed. Usually I'll complain first and then I'll rejoice. Amen? So, yeah, I know where you are. I've been there and done that. Praise the Lord. You know what's better? Rejoicing. Because all of a sudden you begin to know. It's like eating or something. Rejoicing is like eating something you like. Because it begins to get rid of the trash. Amen? It begins to get rid of all the garbage that you're meditating on. And you begin to thank God for all the blessings that and all the great ministry that He's done to you, through you, for you. He is bringing to pass His perfect will in your heart. And in your mind. And in your family. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rejoice in the Lord. And again. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. There's so many opportunities you have to not rejoice. Amen? So many opportunities we have. But every opportunity to not rejoice is a greater opportunity to give praise to God. Amen? Because he knew that opportunity to grumble was going to be there. And he provided you a greater opportunity to worship when you remember those things. And when the enemy brings to you a thought of why you shouldn't rejoice or a reason to not rejoice, what has God provided for you but a greater reason to rejoice? Actually, the devil has brought you the greatest reason to rejoice is because he brought you bad news. Anytime the devil brings bad news, you know what? We have a greater reason to rejoice. Because there's no bad news that can overwhelm the good news. There's no bad news that can overwhelm what God has provided. Amen? I want to encourage you today to go into every, when anything comes up that tries to get your attention, to give you a right to grumble or complain or to accuse God, to begin to rejoice and to thank Him. He created you. He made you. He provided everything in you, through you, for you. And He is not through with you yet. He loves you, and He is demonstrating His glory what you thought was a loss, what you took as a loss, God is making a major victory out of it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we cast all of our cares upon you this day. Father, we thank you for every care that's coming our way. Every time the enemy wants to come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him saying, I have taken this land. This land has already belongs to me. This brother, this sister already belongs to me. And I have cared for him and I have cared for her and will continue to bless and to meet their need. Father, we thank you right now for every individual in this place. I pray for each one. Lord, you know exactly where they are and what is the attack that's come to them today. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you have delivered them by your mighty hand, that you love them, that you minister to them, that the entrance of Jesus Christ into this world has changed everything. He's broken the power of the enemy. There is nothing shall by any means harm us. And Father, those who have gone on before us are rejoicing in your presence. Father, we thank you for all of these great miracles that you've done to bring Jesus to us, all the great miracles that you've done to bring us to Jesus, and now all the great miracles that you'll do to bring others to Jesus through us. Father, we worship you and we give you praise. Father, come and dwell in us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we give you free rein today to come and take all of our burden. Take it. I don't mourn with it. That I don't coddle it or cuddle it. But I release it to you. So that the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes my testimony. And we give you the glory and the praise and the thanksgiving for it. And everybody said, Amen.